Good morning. If you'd like to turn over to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, we're going to be starting there and pretty much hanging out there all, you know, for the lesson. No PowerPoint this morning, so crack open those Bibles. Get in there. It's good to see everybody. We've been gone for a couple weeks out of town. It's good to be back with all of you. So let's go ahead and jump right into the lesson. Romans chapter 13, starting in verse 8. Paul says, "Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." So is anybody here like being in debt? Anybody like being in debt? Paul starts off this section, he says, owe no one anything. Now there are some people that look at this first part of this verse and they say, well, that means that you can never borrow any money from anyone. You can't borrow a dollar from your friend at work for a Coke. You can't finance a car. You can't get a mortgage. You can't do any of that. That's not what Paul's saying here. And it's not the main point of what Paul's going to be talking about, so we're not even really going to go into that, but we could go to other scriptures and see that's not what Paul's saying. But he is saying that, the bottom line, if you do have a debt, pay it. I mean, if you want to look at what he's saying here, if you have a debt, pay it. Now, when you do pay off that debt, it does feel good, right? If you ever have paid off a debt, you know how good it feels. Back when Teresa and I first got married, we bought a brand new car, a 1993 Mitsubishi Mirage. Don't judge. She picked it out, and she picked the color. But I remember that payment, $263.68 every month it came out. And I think at that time I was only making around $10 an hour. So that payment hurt every single month. But you know what I also remember? I remember the day that I paid off that car. What a feeling that was. Ah, paid it off. No more debt. Debt creates pressure, and we don't like being under pressure. And to get out from under debt, that feels pretty good. But Paul says here that we have a debt that we're never going to be able to pay off. We're going to continue to pay on it. And that's our debt of love towards others. None of us are ever going to get to that point where we're going to say, you know, I finally reached that point where I love my neighbor exactly like I should. I love my spouse exactly like I should. We're never going to get there. Because love is something we're always continuing to grow in. In this last almost 3 months now, we have been spending our time in Romans chapter 12 and now chapter 13. And I want to go back and just kind of remind ourselves, as Peter says, by way of reminder, where we've been, where we've come from in these last couple of months to get to where we're at today. Paul starts off there in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. He says, therefore, I urge you by the mercies of God. The mercies of God. This is our motivation for what he's going to tell us from here forward. And in verse 1, he says, to become a living sacrifice. We're supposed to dedicate our life to God. And then in verse 2, he says, you can't think like the rest of the world. You can't think that way. You got to transform your mind. You got to transform yourself by the renewing of your mind. In verse 3, that renewed mind is a mind that's humble. And then verses 4 through 8 of chapter 12, he talked about how we're all different members of the same body. We're not all a hand. We're not all an eye. We all have different gifts that God has given us to work, to promote and further the kingdom. And then we're supposed to love everybody, especially those who mistreat us. And that was a tough lesson, right? Because it's not easy to love our enemy. But that's what we're commanded to do. And then in verse 13, I think Mike started off and talking about how we need to subject ourselves to the government and the powers of the government. We need to pay our taxes. Who wants to hear that? But that's what we're told to do. And then Paul tells us today in verse 8, he says, owe no one anything, pay your debts. But there's one debt that you're always going to have to pay. And that's the debt of your love towards others. Amen. You're always going to have that debt to pay. But that's a debt that you have. And all these things we've been looking at, all these commandments, these practical applications, are based in the mercies of God. It's because of what God has done for us. That is our motivation. That is why we do these things. Not because we have to. Not because we're under a list of laws. Because we look at what God has done for us by sending His Son down the cross for our salvation. And it's the only logical response. So we're going to spend just a couple minutes this morning. And we're going to look at verses 8 through 10. Verse 8 says, "Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law." So we have this debt of love that we owe. But who do we owe it to? Who qualifies to receive this love from us? Now your version might say, the one who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. So I guess the question is, who's your neighbor? Well, Jesus was asked that question, wasn't he? Over in Luke chapter 10, and then he gave his answer, and his answer was the Good Samaritan, right? And in that story, he showed that your neighbor can be a stranger. It doesn't matter. Your neighbor is who you come in contact with. It's like we have this traveling zip code that we go around with, and it follows us wherever we go. And when we come into contact with somebody, they're in our zip code. They're our neighbor. They're the ones that we have to show this love to. And it doesn't matter if they're the person that mistreats us. It doesn't matter if they're the person that hates us. They're the one that we owe this debt of love to. And so that's who we're talking about. Now, if you look ahead at verse 9, Paul says that we can tell us how we can measure this love, to make sure that we're doing this the way that we're supposed to. He says the way that we measure this is that we love others the same way that we love ourselves. Now, there's a teaching that's been going around, I guess, for the last 30 or 40 years. And it says that your relational problems that you have in life, they're rooted in low self-esteem. They come from not loving yourself enough. And so what they tell you to do is you need to first learn how to love yourself before you can ever love anybody else. Have you heard that before? You need to first learn to love yourself before you can love anybody else. Well, that's a lie. That's not scriptural. The greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, that doesn't talk about that. The second greatest commandment, love your neighbor as yourself, it doesn't reference that. No scripture tells you got to learn to love yourself first before you can love anybody else. Jesus said there are two great commandments, not three. Two, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor. And the reason is we don't need a commandment to learn how to love ourselves. That comes naturally. We love ourselves. It just happens naturally. I mean, think about it. Do you take care of yourself? Do you always give yourself the benefit of the doubt? Come on now. You know, when you make a mistake, who's the first one to forgive you? Typically you, right? When you're driving to work and there's somebody who's going faster than you, isn't that the person that's an idiot and going to cause an accident? And when you're driving and somebody's driving slower than you, isn't that the guy that needs to go back and take driving school again? And, you know, needs to probably get his license taken away, his privileges revoked? Because you're a perfect driver, right? Nobody can drive as good as you. What about in your family? You ever find yourself thinking, you know, if my wife and my kids could just get their act together, we'd have a perfect family? Because, I mean, I do everything right. The truth is, we love ourselves, despite our many faults. We don't need a commandment to tell us to love ourselves. That comes naturally. And what Paul is saying here is, you need to extend that same grace and love to others that you extend to yourself every day. Love your neighbor the same way that you love yourself. And this is challenging for us, though, because it becomes self-sacrificing. We have to deny ourselves. You know, when I work all day, and I notice this the older I get, when I work all day and I get home, I'm tired. And what I want to do is I want to sit down, turn the TV on, put my feet up, and just relax. I don't want to help Teresa make dinner, and I don't want to do the dishes. But that's not love, is it? During the week, sometimes I'll get a phone call. Somebody will want to go out and have coffee and talk. And I got projects at home that are stacking up, things that I need to get done, and to sacrifice my time to go have that cup of coffee, it doesn't always sound like the best thing. But that's not love. So this love, it's more about what you do than how you feel. And a lot of times we think love is a feeling, but really love at its core is about what you do. Now love, especially in marriage, you want the feelings to be there. You want that feeling of love to be here. But at the core, it's not really a feeling. It's a commitment to do what's right and what's in the best interest of somebody else. I came across an article this past week written by Wes McAdams, and he's a brother in Christ, and I know some of you probably are familiar with him. I'm going to borrow pretty heavy from that article right now. You know, Jesus gave us the commandment to love our neighbor as ourself. And Paul's telling us here in Romans chapter 13 the same thing, to love our neighbor as ourself. So if love is a feeling, then how am I supposed to love the person who mistreats me? How do I have a loving feeling towards the person who hates me and tries to hurt me? How do I have a loving feeling towards somebody that walks in here and tries to shoot some of you? I don't think we're commanded to feel love towards that person necessarily, but God, Jesus still commands us to love them. So if love isn't necessarily a feeling, it's something that we do. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, 16 through 18, John says, "By this we know love, that he," talking about Jesus, "laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth." John tells us that our love is not determined by our words. It's determined by our actions. It's not determined by our feelings. It's determined by our actions. John says that we know love because Jesus laid his life down for us. That's how we know what love is. And in the same way that Jesus laid his life down for us, we need to be willing to lay our lives down for others. And if you're willing to lay your life down for others, wouldn't you be willing to do some things for them also in their best interest? You know, something else we see in Scripture is this word love and how it's used is very closely used with the phrase do good. To do good. Galatians 6:10, do good to everyone, especially to those of the household of faith. 1 Thessalonians 3:15, do good to one another and to everyone. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 13, do not grow weary in doing good. 1 Timothy 6:18, do good, be rich in good works, be generous and ready to share. In Hebrews 13, verse 16, do good and share what you have. Loving our neighbor means as much as doing good for our neighbor, to do good for them. It means that if they're hungry, you feed them. If they're thirsty, you give them something to drink. If they're lonely, you visit them. You encourage them. It can be summed up, this love could be summed up what Proverbs 3, verse 27 says. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. Amen. When you have the power to help somebody else out and do what's in their best interest, and you do that, that is love. Amen. And that's what this is saying. You don't have to feel affections toward that person to love that person. But you can do good and love that person and do what's in their best interest. And then in verse 9, Romans 13, Paul gives us four of the 10 commandments in the Old Testament and says this is what love does not do. Verse 9 says, for the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Then we could go through and look at each one of these and point out why this isn't love, but I think it's pretty obvious that adultery is not love. Theft is not love. These things that he's listing is not love. And Paul says any other commandment, it can be summed up in this, that love is loving your neighbor as yourself. Look at verse 10. He says, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. In verse 8, Paul tells us that the one who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. And now here in verse 10 again, he says that love is fulfilling the law. And Paul tells us how that this love is going to fulfill the law. When you act in love towards others, loving your neighbors yourself, you're not going to do anything to harm them. You're not going to do them any wrong. That's what love is. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Love doesn't commit adultery. Love doesn't murder. Love doesn't steal. Love doesn't gossip. Love doesn't ignore somebody who's in need. Love doesn't give the silent treatment to your spouse. Love doesn't hold a grudge. And love doesn't even try, love doesn't try to get even when somebody hurts you. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, and that's how it's fulfilling of the law. Love fulfills the intention of every commandment in the law that God has given for us to protect people from harm. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul tells us what love does. It says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. The debt that we owe, that we're always going to owe, is our love towards others. So are you paying your debt? And we have the ultimate example of love with God. The example that he gave us by sending his son. John chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This love came down from heaven and walked among us, setting an example for us, but not only that, living a perfect life, becoming our perfect sacrifice, so that we in our sins could be forgiven and have salvation and be back in a relationship with God. And if you're sitting here this morning and you haven't obeyed the gospel, you haven't become a Christian, you haven't taken advantage of this love. This love was given for all mankind. And what you need to do to respond to that is to recognize that Jesus is the Son of God. Confess that. Repent of your sins. Recognize that you have violated against a holy God. And confess and repent of your sins. And be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And if we can help you this morning, we ask you to come forward as we stand and sing.